I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Mel.
This is season two.
Woo! Welcome back, everyone. We're back here again.
back. It's been about, what, like 2 months?
2 months off.
We've been together again recording. It's kind of crazy.
I know. I feel like season one went by so fast that we actually didn't really get to enjoy everything that happened in season one.
Once we put out one episode, it's like the next week we were thinking about the next one that went on for like 12 weeks. And it was so helpful to have all of your guys' comments and people responding. I feel like that kept it less scary.
It was motivating. It was very motivating to read people's comments.
I can't believe we're actually at season two now, because we didn't even think about doing a season two when we started season one.
We were just trying to make it to the end of season one.
I thought our goal was, let's just make content and see what happens.
Right. Yeah.
With the 2 months off, we were able to read all your emails and read all your supportive messages to us, and it really just motivated us to keep going for season two. And so thank you so much for all of that.
And we are here. We are back.
And it was great to have that time to reflect, because we weren't focused so much on, you know, creating new episodes and thinking about topics. We were kind of getting to reassess, like, what were the topics that people liked, or what, you know, what they got, people were more gravitated towards. So we talked about careers, we talked about grooming, but people seemed to really respond to our fuckboy episode.
I know.
Actually, very surprisingly, like, that was episode two of season one, and that's when all of these ABBs like came out of the woodwork, and they were like, I don't agree with this, I have different opinions.
They came running towards us with their Adidas sweatpants. I have something to say,
tripping on it because it's all baggy.
But that was the episode where like our mutual friends would be messaging us like, hey, I listened to the episode, great job, but I have something to say about
a lot of butts.
So what better way to start this season off than to bring back a popular topic, the fuckboy?
So first season, it's always been us three ladies talking to each other and sharing our opinions on these topics. And now we have two of our guy friends who are going to offer their perspectives and maybe address some of the comments that some of our ABBs had.
Yeah, so we wanted to get in some different perspectives. So thank you, special guests, for being here today. Would you guys please introduce yourselves? And if you'd like, remaining anonymous is totally fine.
My name's Dan.
Okay, we're going to call you, like,
is Dan.
We're going to call you Danimal.
I go by Dan.
Okay.
Dan, guest number here. Two, please introduce yourself.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What should we call you? You have to say your real name.
My name's Kyle.
Kyle, okay.
Nice to meet you, Kyle.
Yeah,
nice
Kyle.
To meet
you, Kyle.
Kyle's name's not real. We got a guest, though.
Okay, so we have Dan, who's in the entertainment industry, and we have Kyle, who works more corporate job?
More corporate job from a big four company.
Oh, so he knows about that grind, that corporate grind.
That's CPA.
My brother.
And just for context, both Dan and Kyle are Asian American men.
In your 30s? What
is your age
Late
range?
Late 20s, yeah. 30s?
I'm 32.
I'm 28.
So have you guys listened to season one, episode two?
I listen to every episode that comes out. I'm actually a subscriber. I love talking about this stuff with my friends and kind of showing off the podcast to coworkers and people I talk to on a daily basis.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for
that,
Kyle.
That's awesome.
This is the podcast that actually got me into other podcasts, because I wasn't listening to podcasts before. And this isn't just me like saying kind words, but I started listening to this podcast, and then I realized that Spotify had a bunch of other podcasts.
Yeah.
And then I totally got it afterwards. So.
Wow.
You guys open up that door.
Are these like fuckboy lines are using on us?
Or I don't know. I can't tell. I can't tell. Okay. Well, to give an overview or a recap of what we talked about in episode 2, for any of the new listeners out there, a fuckboy is a modern-day playboy. So that term has spread from playboy to player, and now it's the fuckboy. So what is a fuckboy? He is someone who asks you out, but doesn't really follow up. He's like an emotional vampire. They have this like heart or soul connecting moment that makes you really invested to them. So they like suck the energy out of you, amongst maybe other things.
Oh my God.
Yikes. Kind of leave you there without really following up. So they have a lot of options. There's also this look that we talk about. So guys who wear Adidas sweatpants or who are really into looking good and sharp, which
Kyle's totally
rocking right now.
In my defense, these are Nikes, not Adidas.
All right. Oh, okay.
Very different.
Nike sweatpants. So given that, what do you guys think a fuckboy is?
You know, most guys get a bad perception on this type of thing. Everybody kind of buckets these guys that are trying to play with women's emotions and just say, blanket statement, everybody or all guys that do that is a fuckboy. And I personally don't agree with that statement.
Okay.
I would generally say, I think that it just comes down to a lot of its power. And I will say that a lot of guys probably don't necessarily know or think while it's happening that they are being a fuckboy or having fuckboy attitudes. But I think I listened to your episode. I think that a lot of the things you guys said were particularly true about people or situations that I see. But I think a lot of it's power, though, and utilizing that power in order to get instant gratification sometimes.
Okay, so Dan is kind of defining the fuckboy based off of a person who has power and then maybe is abusing it, right? So Kyle, you were saying that generally guys get kind of bucketed into this thing, but what makes a fuckboy?
In essence, the fuckboy, I guess, is really someone who's out there with a motive or intent to hurt these women.
Mm. I think it's intention.
It is. Yeah. There's intent behind it. I believe in a lot of situations, guys get bucketed into these fuckboy situations, you know, because, like, hey, that's an action, but they don't knowingly do it, you know, while they're talking or be with these girls.
So you feel like, have you been in a situation like that before? That you feel like you're bucketed into the fuckboy category, but you don't feel like you're a fuckboy?
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
100%.
It happens quite a bit, and I don't really appreciate it. So part of me was when Mel actually texted me and asked me to be on the podcast, I jumped at the opportunity to kind of set the record straight for the guy listeners out there.
Okay, so you're saying that there's no, like, intent behind certain things. So what specific circumstance is it? Like, a girl, you'll kind of leave a girl hanging, you'll ghost her? Or, you know.
No, nothing like that. I mean, it's more or less, it's women's jump. Like, I get it. I understand women are very emotional, very much trying to find love. I mean, everybody's out there trying to deal
with
it.
Men are also emotional.
Yeah.
A little bit. And I think, you know, there's assumptions made about different types of actions or conversations that kind of lead to these types of disappointment. There's a buildup in women's head, these expectations that, you know, X equals Y and then Y equals Z, and next time pop out a baby, you know?
When was the last time that someone, like, called you a fuckboy or something?
And wanted your babies, apparently.
To be 100% frank, I've actually never been called a fuckboy directly to my face from a girl.
They probably told their friends behind scenes.
Yeah, I mean, to be completely frank, people say, like, you know, Kyle, you're a nice guy, but you have some fuckboy tendencies. Then I get lumped into that fuckboy term, right? I do have some tendencies, and I'm not ashamed to say that.
Yeah, what are your tendencies?
Yeah.
Get into the
team. Come on. I'm trying to drill down into it.
Come on, Kyle.
The reason why I'm asking, when me and the girls talked about who we want to bring on, I said I want to bring on Kyle because, I mean, we talk about this. You know, you kind of get lumped in this category of a fuckboy, and it sounds like this happens multiple times. So my thing is, why is it happening multiple times?
Well, more or less, it's just when you talk to a girl or a female, you obviously want to get to know them. You want to understand what makes them tick, what background they come from. Mm-hmm. And I remember listening to, you know, the episode, and Mel talks about a moment where they're able to talk about a very deep emotional feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's all part of getting to know somebody. It's a product of that. And if you realize that down the road that you're not, quote unquote, into this girl, then you're allowed to back out. When someone gives you an emotional tidbit, doesn't mean you get the whole gravy train, you know?
But do you actively tell them and have a conversation? Or do you just ghost?
No. Well, about when I...
When you realize... So if you say you have this like deep connecting moment with someone and then you realize, oh, but she's not really someone I want to date. Do you actually tell her? Or do you just start like ignoring her or like slowly responding less and less?
Actually, there's this new term called... Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. It's called breadcrumbing.
Breadcrumbing? What? That?
So when you leave people on dot, dot, dot on text message... On iPhones, that's like breadcrumbing.
So it's like not as bad as ghosting.
Yeah. But like you disappear. Breadcrumbing, you're leaving them hanging.
I love that. Wait, where did you hear that term?
I saw it on like The Skim or something.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you answer Janet's question about, do you have that conversation with them when you reached a point where you're like, you know what? I don't think I see a future in this. Or do you breadcrumb them or ghost them? Or do you keep them around for physical purposes?
So to be frank, and that is to my point, I apologize for that. I do tend to sometimes not have that upfront conversation that says, hey, I'm not really into making this any more long-term than what it already is. To that fact, I apologize for that, women, ladies, whoever are listening. I have ghosted, quote unquote, and I have breadcrumbed, or I was able to manipulate or change the relationship to be more friendly.
Well, so if you say you changed, that means that you had some conversation and she responded and she understood that the relationship is different versus just like, you know.
Yeah, ghosting. So that's the hard part, because sometimes women don't understand the relationship has pivoted. They don't really realize that. And I think that's where the disconnect happens. Because I'll switch it to more of a friend zone type of situation, and they don't catch on as
well. Why don't you just tell them? I'm just sitting here like, dude, I wouldn't know sometimes.
It's That's hard. True.
But I would say to be fair, though, girls do that too, right? Like with a certain guy, you might be exploring, and then you realize like, we should just be friends. And so you try to guide the relationship more toward a friend zone, right?
Without being very upfront, right, and hurting their feelings.
Because, but at least though, I do respect Kyle that you do something versus just nothing, right? So because it's like some people prefer the upfront conversation, but I've also had situations where I have an upfront conversation and people are offended by that. So that person might have preferred a more like, you know, just trying to kind of make them feel like it's a friendship versus something different.
Yeah. When you tell someone you're not into them, people take it personally.
So do they actually know, though, that they've been friend-zoned? Or are you kind of, you know, driving
that's important.
Them along emotionally?
No. So most of the time is going to be hanging out during daytime. You know, occasionally some coffee that will be in and around when the sun sets or whatever. So
wait. So you're telling me when you start pivoting the relationship, you don't pursue anything physical still with them?
Oh, that's a very key.
Because if you're still having sex with them, even though you emotionally pivoted.
No, that's a big.
If you emotionally pivot, time up. If you emotionally pivoted and like, you know, and be friends, and you're still having sex with this girl, as a girl, I'm like, he's still into me.
Yeah, that's a really good, very good point.
And I guess this is where the tendencies come in. When you when you become of need or have a few drinks, the texting, the flirting stuff kind of comes back. And you know, obviously those things can lead to another thing, and next thing you know,
boom boom in the room.
Kyle, that's what a fuckboy is.
Wait, what?
you can't friend zone someone and then at night like change the relationship, and then the morning comes and it's like, just kidding, we're friends again.
Like I said, it's a once in a lifetime, or once in a month or week or whatever.
Okay.
It just happens once in a while. It's not a daily occurrence. And like I said, it's a tendency, not necessarily who you are as a person.
Wait. So what makes...
I love this.
Who you are as a person is defined by your actions, right?
And your tendencies.
And your tendencies and your behavior. So I'm struggling. I'm seeing a little bit of a disconnect.
I definitely agree. And I can see a point of view on that. But I think... So those were older times, and I think now as
like last week.
I see what you did there. I think over time, I've definitely developed not having those types of tendencies and really having more upfront conversations, and being upfront, being straightforward about what my motives are and what I'm looking for.
I think you're backtracking.
Dan,
I'll say that I think the conversation is very nuanced, though. I think that I don't know any of the people that Kyle's talking to, but I will say that depending on whatever the situation is, maybe every person and his relationship with every single person is very, very different. I'm sure there's very black and white areas, Kyle, where you can straight up admit, yeah, you're probably being a fuckboy. Yeah. But But there's also probably a lot of areas, though, that like maybe you're getting a lot of hints. Maybe there's some things that you are getting back from the lady that is making you think that, oh, maybe like I'm in the right here, or like I'm
I'm
not being a fuckboy, but this is something that she would like to do too.
Like, and she wants to do a friends with benefits type of thing? Or
it seems like there's not a lot of communication, maybe. Yeah. And I think that like it has to come down to like there's got to be more communication when it goes into this.
I agree. There's a lot of nonverbal cues, types of actions, and kind of how, you know, hey, maybe the girl's okay with how the relationship is going, or how infrequent or frequent the situations are. Actually, I want to ask a quick question. Why does it have to lead to something physical that makes somebody feel as if they're being toyed with?
I think for women, it's very hard to have a physical relationship with a guy and not feel an emotional connection.
Do you ever feel as if maybe that's just the impasse? I mean, I won't speak for myself, but I think broadly, men are able to have a physical relationship with a female and not have that emotional connection. They're able to separate those two distinct situations. Don't you think that maybe women's choice to have emotional and physical kind of together is kind of puts them at risk for these types of heartbreaks?
It's not really a choice.
Yeah.
It's kind of just natural human. Yeah, but you're right. I think, yeah, with my girlfriends and myself, like I know that I can't be physical with someone and not have feelings for them. But I feel like for guys, if you know that, right, perhaps you should be aware that if even if the girl is telling you, like, or she seems to be, like, going along with it, it might be because she really likes you and she's hoping that you will change your mind.
That's true.
And I guess just to be real, though, like, I think that the heart of the matter, though, is that whether it's being a female fuckboy or a male fuckboy or whatever it is, it just comes down to selfish behavior. I think that people have very, very selfish tendencies sometimes. Speaking from, I'll just speak from my own experience.
Yeah,
that, like,
let's
I think
get into
that. Like, I think that we all have very selfish tendencies sometimes. You act upon those selfish tendencies whether you either want to or whether or not you realize it. But it's tough to, like, if you look back at the situation, you know that you acted upon the selfish tendencies. You know that you're being a fuckboy in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's right. I think that if the other person obviously was manipulated and they felt very poor after that happened, that's kind of something you have to live with. But it just comes down to selfish tendencies from both perspectives, though.
So, Dan, it sounds like you referenced a couple times to where someone is maybe, like, being a fuckboy and then they don't realize it until after it happens. So is that something from personal experience where you've done something and you didn't think you were doing anything wrong in the moment, but then after, like, on reflection?
I think broadly...
No, let's get specific.
I think broadly, I think a lot of people... Again, you're in an atmosphere where there's selfish tendencies. You just want to act upon whatever they are.
And
then
afterwards...
And then afterwards you realize that, like, no, you were kind of being a dick about it. From a very personal standpoint, I think that, yeah, no, I will openly admit that I think that there's been a couple of times in my life I was going into a situation hoping that I would get one particular outcome from that situation. And afterwards...
Sex. Let's just use the words.
No, actually, it wasn't necessarily sex all the time.
Okay.
But it was either just trying to, like... Again, it's a power...
Feel connected to someone.
To feel like you're something. Yeah, yeah. And this is where, like, I kind of agree with Kyle in that, like, you don't really necessarily try to be that particular type of person.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end of it, when you look back on whatever happened, I think that you feel very poorly about those circumstances.
This must have happened at least more than once, right? So isn't it, like, through pattern that you realize that you're doing something over and over again?
Yeah, that's why you got to change.
Knowing the outcome?
That's why you got to change.
And let's get more specific here, because I'm wondering, are you talking, so you're saying it's not necessarily always about sex. Is it then about a relationship? Is it about them confirming that they like you or that you have...
You know what? The relationship thing is, like, sometimes it's actually just to see whether or not, like, we're compatible or not. And then once I get to that point, I've had a couple of situations where I travel a lot. And so I've had a couple of situations where I'll meet women in, like, maybe New York or, like, another city.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to get to know them. Like, I'm really trying to, like, build an emotional connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it doesn't lead to, like, anything more beyond that. But I realize that they've started gaining a lot of feelings on me. And then out of selfish behavior, I will stop talking to them afterwards, after they've already built those emotional connections. And I've realized that, like, I don't want to pursue whatever that thing was.
Mm-hmm.
I just cut it off.
Did you ghost them?
I ghosted them, yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that's the key difference between like just ghosting or having the conversation of saying like, this is where I am. Like, we were emotionally connected at one point, but now I'm a little bit out of it, whether it's because of a timing situation, location situation, whatever it is. Like, I'm just no longer where we were.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're abusing the relationship in any way, but it was more like the ending of it.
Yeah.
And so when you say selfish, you just mean you did the thing that was more convenient for you, which Correct. Is not having the conversation.
Exactly. But we can all agree, though, that like there's just generally probably been a moment with all of us where we've taken the more convenient situation to get out of whatever that uncomfortable conversation is. I'm not saying that we all do it all the time, but I'm sure that we can all individually point to something where that has happened. And let's go. Mel.
I honestly can't think of anything. I think because I'm pretty straightforward with a guy. I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I can't like, because I think I appreciate someone being honest with me and saying, this is something I don't want.
Right.
I do the same. When I was like dating on the dating apps, when things didn't work out, like he ghosted me and I'm like, okay, well, I can't be like, you did that. I don't tend to ghost people though. I tell them like, hey, I'm not really feeling this. Let me take it back. There was one time where I didn't text as frequently and I maybe could see that as ghosting, but then I felt really bad about doing that. And then I sent him a text saying, I'm sorry, I've been really busy. I don't think this is something I want to pursue anymore. So I think it's best for us to like go our separate ways. So with that said, have you guys ever had a situation where you guys felt guilty for, you know, ghosting a girl or leading them on? And looking back at the situation, you would reach out to them and apologize for your behavior.
If you really feel bad about it.
It's kind of funny you guys say that and bring that up. There has been on a couple occasions where I have reached out, kind of rolling through the quote-unquote X-Files. And texted, a person and let them know, hey, I'm sorry for the way I acted. I think you're a great individual and I would love to be friends. But being straight up, I don't think this is going to go anywhere. And obviously apologize for my actions and how things kind of abruptly was ghosted or to have any hard feelings.
You know, I've never reached out, no. And it is something that like I feel guilty about in very specific situations. Mm-hmm. But no, I have never reached out though.
Do you feel like it eats you though? Like you think about the moment still on like a even like a daily or a weekly like situation?
That's where all my inspirations for songs come from.
Oh, he's an artiste. That's why, guys. He's an artiste. He needs content. It's like the Taylor Swift.
Okay, so it sounds like both Dana and Kyle, a lot of your examples, like your personal stories about your fuckboy behavior are a little bit more mild. You know, there's maybe kind of more like misunderstandings or you're just not like ending it with them clearly and communicating. But I think we all know that there's, you know, either through your friends that you know or in society, these more severe cases of guys who are really, they know what they're doing. They're more emotionally malicious about it. What are your thoughts on that? And, like, do you have friends that you feel like, you know, exhibit this behavior that you kind of, like, feel is a little disapproving? Or do you approve of it?
Yeah, I mean, I do know one, two, maybe a handful people that are maliciously, actively trying to pursue women on a purely physical level. In whatever way they can get it, they're going to get it. And I don't approve of that behavior, but it's a time in their life where that's what they're out there looking for and what they want to do.
And how about Dan?
I definitely know a good amount of guys that have that type of behavior. I agree with Kyle. Like, I don't approve of it at all. But I'll say this, though. I think that, like, and this is just speaking from, like, guy culture, is that I do think there's a level of, like, when it's just the guys, when it's just the dudes, that even though we're not spurring them on to, like, do that behavior, there is a lot of approval in our silence. And so there is a lot of guy talk where a lot of guys will just either not say anything after a guy, or like we get really like it's guy talk. We're like, maybe the guy that is the fuckboy isn't necessarily giving us 100% of like what the real story is. Mm-hmm. And he's just telling us, oh, I hooked up with this girl last night. It was great. And we're like, yeah, guys, men. And I feel like that's a thing that I think just within guy culture,
right,
that we don't necessarily stop maybe men that are like that in our lives, right, from doing it, which I think furthers them in their behavior, right, like that.
It kind of rewards them, right?
Because yeah,
you are, I mean, most of the time, yeah, like you're right, they're like getting recognition for that from their guy friends.
Yeah, that was a pretty bold statement. Get approval from silence or silence from approval. That was meaningful. That struck a chord with me. I appreciate that.
But I'll also say though that I think we also get it from our female friends too. Again, not necessarily saying that like maybe the guy's not giving you 100% of like what really was the situation, but guys will bring it up in a larger group, and mm-hmm. I think female friends too are like, "Go get him, boy," or like will like mm-hmm. provide a meaningful association with that happening.
Really?
Which I think like provides them, now they're like, okay, our female friends are like buying into it too. That's kind of giving me even more approval to
full
like
full throttle into it.
No, I think yeah. I think that's true. I would agree that I think because, so for example, Dan, if you were to say like, oh yeah, I hooked up with that girl from last night, I'd be like, good for you. But only because you are my friend and I feel more compassion towards you versus this stranger. Mm-hmm. So maybe that is something that I have to rethink now.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I do that with Kyle. Like, we'll talk and I was like, oh, he went on a business trip in Dallas or somewhere. And I was like, oh, who'd you hook up with this time? Because it's a common thing. Let's be real.
So it seems like when it's the behavior, we seem to like acknowledge that in a positive way. But when we call someone a fuckboy, that's an insult. Like, is it like how much of this is like a badge of honor versus like a badge of shame kind of thing?
I would say that, yeah, I think that's actually one of our takeaways from the episode is that maybe that's something that like, I also think that the conversation is generally changing, like the culture's changing around mm-hmm. hookup culture, the culture's mm-hmm. changing around a lot of these yeah. different things. Yeah. And I think that every guys and girls are thinking about it a lot more now right. and the way that they either reward that behavior or shame that behavior. Mm-hmm. It's between certain people. I don't know what individuals' relationships are, but like I think that it ultimately comes down to maybe it's not congratulating that behavior as much. Maybe it's not shaming it necessarily right off the bat, but right. maybe it's not congratulating that behavior as
right,
much.
Right, right. Like, do you know her? Do you know her family? Do you know she has a mom and a dad?
I think for me, though, like as like a girlfriend of these guys who have these fuckboy tendencies, maybe as a girl, like I assume that, like, for example, Kyle, if say you were to hook up with some girl on a business trip, I naturally assume like, okay, cool. She knows what this relationship is going into this physical interaction. And that's why I validate me making these statements because I assume that she is aware of the situation when maybe she isn't.
Right, right. Right. Like you guys aren't necessarily discussing the emotional aspects. We don't know if she's getting hurt.
Or the context of, you know, what's going on right. of hooking up.
That's true.
So in our previous episode, and it was just the three of us girls, we were trying to understand why a fuckboy does what he does, right? So from your guys' perspective, if you think about your behavior or even just outside of yourself thinking about fuckboys in general, why do you think guys act this way?
I'll take a first pass at this. I think it's a little bit of what Dan said, a little bit of power. Guys like to flex and knowing that they can, manipulate women to have feelings for them or to obtain a physical prize or physical gratification. And I think that's the majority of it. It's with, you know, guys with these fuckboy tendencies do this maliciously and do it with intent.
Where do you think it comes from?
I think it comes from a little bit of they never had this before, right? They were probably, you know, in a corner, very shy growing up, and then all of a sudden, you know, girls are giving them attention, as well as society says, hey, guys, yo, get girls, get a lot of girls. That's the thing to do. So guys will emulate that and try to get as many girls whatever way possible.
It sounds like they just get validation by getting this power.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people also associate fuckboys with having like low self-esteem psychologically. Someone who needs that gratification from someone to show that they're approved by someone from another sex or just another human being, right? Do you feel like at times by having that validation from someone that creates these fuckboy tendencies?
Yeah. I mean, I am the first to admit something like that, seeing it in my friends. And obviously because of the said approval by silence or silence by approval, I don't make those kind of comments because it's going to attack my friends in a more personal psychological situation. So you kind of leave that alone and you get back to like the surface level. Hey, got that girl, you know, good for you. Like, make sure you wrapped it up or whatever.
I completely agree. I think people, again, whether or not they realize it or not, I think it just a lot of it's just selfish behavior. And then, yeah, I think there's a lot of psychological reasons why people lean into that behavior. maybe the answer is, again, we just need people that are not validating that behavior.
And maybe a good way is also like learning to build empathy for the other side. Mm-hmm. So have you guys, I mean, I think it helps like you understand the importance of having those hard conversations with someone versus ghosting if you yourself have been ghosted, right? So has that ever happened with you guys? Have you had fuck girl interactions?
Yeah, no, I've had a couple of fuck girl situations. I think one of it, but it's also in the same way though. I think it comes down to them. I think a lot of it is maybe in the moment they don't realize that they're being that type of behavior. Mm-hmm. And so I think I've been in situations where girls are dating other people and they maybe, in just to put it into their court, maybe they don't realize that I'm into them as much as I feel like that I am. Mm-hmm. But it goes both ways, though. I think that it's the same way that, Melody, you're talking about maybe some guys that you've dated before. I think that you give in more than 60, 70% to, like, emotions, and the other person just doesn't feel that way, and they're dating other people at the time.
Or what specifically did that girl do to you?
Oh, no, we were dating, and I just didn't realize that they were dating other people at the same time.
Mm.
And they didn't make it as clear.
How'd you find out?
I don't know. You just hear things.
Social from media. Other people.
Social media. You hear things from other people, yeah.
And how about Kyle? Have you had any fuck girl interactions?
I guess just looking back in my dating career and knock on wood, haven't had too many fuck girl situations, but I have been ghosted before and it hurts. It hurts. So I definitely feel for you girls when someone does that to you, and I definitely don't do that, and I try not to do that.
Do you always follow up and you're like, hey, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm curious, like, naked pictures. When you're...
Because that's what guys do to you. Because that's what guys do to you guys.
No, I mean, I do think that girls get a bad rep for being needy and clingy, right? And it's like in this particular situation where someone's like not responding to you, I don't think it's necessarily that she's more into you and that's why she keeps like messaging. It's just like you're being ignored, right? So even the dude, if you're being ignored, you're probably going to be like, hey, you don't get a response, you want more, right?
Yeah, I mean, it took me 3 text messages to realize that, dude, you're getting ghosted. So, I mean, I realize, I'm not the quickest, sharpest tool in the shed or whatever you guys want to call it. But yeah, it took me 3 text messages to be like, damn, dude, it's done.
I can totally see you just kind of like upset. Like, are you ghosting me? You better be ghosting me. I know where you live. I wanted to ask Kyle, because in our episode 2 of season 1, we talked about Mel's fuckboy. So let's bring that back. So for people who don't remember or who didn't listen to that episode, Kyle, myself, and Mel went to Asia with this friend. And Mel and this fuckboy, there was emotional connection there.
Uh-huh.
But Kyle is a really good friend of his. So actually, I'm very curious because I never talked to him about it. But he did send Mel a message later after listening to the podcast to say sorry.
He did apologize for his actions. He's like, I didn't know I came off this way and all these things.
Did he also mention, though, that he didn't know that you were or that you had feelings for him, right?
He did say that.
Kyle, do you believe that he didn't? That the whole time he had no idea that Mel had these feelings and that he was acting in a way that was leading her on.
Just knowing him, he's very much an emotional kind of guy. He does have these types of connections and he loves to talk, right?
But do you think that there was interest on his part?
I had no idea that there was more going on there besides what I saw as people being friends.
So didn't you guys hold hands at one point?
I think we're drunk, but yeah.
is holding hands key essential part of being...
I'm not gonna hold your hand.
Yeah, please don't.
I guess what we're trying to differentiate is, the kind of relationship you have that's like a very pure friendship, right? Platonic,
mm-hmm.
versus non-platonic.
Which is what I'm trying to differentiate. I don't believe there was that intention
was still seeing this as a friendship.
It's a friendship.
So I would say that I think the friendship like tendencies that I got from him was very different from what Mel got from him.
Yeah, and I think that's where kind of wires got crossed and people had misconstrued miscommunication about what was going on.
All right, let me just insert myself. I'm like trying to listen and understand the situation. I think you're doing a good job of defending your friend, and he has his own opinions.
There's nobody to defend.
No, but no, I understand, like, people act certain ways. Because you're saying this whole, like, he's emotional, he wants to connect with people. Hey, same here. But you don't have to cuddle a girl to have the emotional connection. It could just right. We could just talk.
Well, I mean, I wasn't there in the room when the cuddling occurred. I don't know who initiated what. I don't know if, you know, you decided to wiggle and get up close with our friend, or if he was the one grabbing you and pulling him close to you.
Who wiggled, Mel? Who wiggled?
I actually don't know who wiggled, but at the same time, it doesn't. The thing for me, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, if I say I were to wiggle, if you knew this is a purely friendship, don't reciprocate. Like, send some true. Physical social right. cues to be like, you know what? I get it. Because I think girls aren't stupid. They understand these things. So it's like, I think it's okay to have that emotional connection. This is how friendships develop. But when you step over that line of physical intimacy, or even like, I'm not saying like sex, like maybe right. holding hands or like touching at the thigh, things like that, then you're kind of like leading the girl on that point.
I mean, sometimes you can be a little bit
flirtatious,
aloof, mm-hmm. or oblivious. I wouldn't use the word flirtatious. But.
For both women and men, do we think it would be okay if that happened where he didn't think she was interested and he thought that maybe she also, they just wanted to hold hands and flirt with each other in that moment?
And just be friendly.
Anytime it crosses that like physical touch, that like, you know, if there's a little wiggle or whatever going on, right? Like that's clearly stepping over the lines of friendship.
So yes. Holding hands and cuddling equates to like, hey, I'm into you and I want to
meet this more. I think that's the thing. Sure. I feel like that for women, or most women that I know, that type of physical intimacy is like a little more significant than some guys I might know.
Right. Most often, you know, I think for a woman, if any physical anything happens, it's like there's an emotional connection there.
Holding hands is a big deal then, huh?
Yeah. It is.
I'm a chronic
actually,
hand holder.
Sometimes,
oh, no.
I would say sometimes holding hands and then like giving someone a kiss on the forehead is even more intimate than potentially, you know, other more serious physical interactions, because it's a sign of like care.
Yeah.
It's right. right? Yeah. If a guy kisses you in the forehead versus your lips, I feel like that is like he probably likes you a lot more. Because there's less payoff for him.
Yep.
If he goes for the lips, it's his own sexual arousal. If he goes for the forehead, it's, you know.
I would even think holding hands is more intimate than making out at a club.
Do you hear this, Dan? I mean, these girls are dissecting every action.
Well, we gotta get into the details of it.
Of the kiss.
Yeah.
It matters.
Isn't this good that you know?
Now
you know.
Mind blown.
Chronic handholder, man.
Damn, I hope you don't use these tools as like further ways to manipulate.
No, absolutely. Actually, in my defense, it makes me feel.
No lips. No lips.
Evolved.
I had no idea that women really dissect location of kiss and hand holding and all this stuff. You guys really overthink things.
It's not overthinking. It's a feeling that we get that we agree with.
I would say actually most women don't sit there and talk about it with their girlfriends, but it's the way they'll feel in the moment, right? Mm. They'll feel like if you kiss them on the forehead, the vibe, everything feels like, oh, he really likes me.
What if I just kissed you on the forehead because your breath stank?
Why would no, like, no, that wouldn't happen.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us today for ABG, the modern podcast for the Asian American woman. Thanks so much, Kyle and Dan, for being on the show today. Thanks, guys.
Not bad, Dan. Not bad. All right, no, but in all seriousness, thank you guys for joining us and giving us very insightful comments from your own experiences about, you know, fuckboy tendencies and things like that. Because for us, we don't see that side very often. We kind of just observe and we have our own perspectives of it and we talk about it and we're just like, F this fuckboy, they always do this. But we don't see the other side of it where you guys are just more, you know, you guys have your emotional attachment as well and good intent sometimes.
Yeah, and no, thank you ladies for having us, and I definitely learned a lot. Placement of kissing, chronic hand holding.
he learned all the wrong things.
Do not grab someone's face and try to kiss them.
And we've also learned that, you know, probably for both, whether you're a girl or you're a guy, if you're not into someone and you want to end that relationship, it's good to have that conversation, right? So hopefully, and also that if we have friends that we see kind of exhibiting fuck boy or fuck girl behavior, just not necessarily promoting that or making sure that we're not validating.
I would say that one of my biggest takeaways from this is just within your own friend groups, I think the approval by silence is a very, very strong element. And that if you feel like that this is something that you guys need to talk about out there, that you guys should be having these conversations, because I think a lot of guys are going to learn a lot from their female friends within that group.
Yeah, so guys, if you're listening out there hey, speak up. It takes both sides. It takes everybody here to help eliminate this fuckboy from society or whatnot. But it takes two. It takes two to tango to make a situation. It takes two to resolve one.
That is very true. And also, if you guys end up reaching out to these people that you've emotionally harmed, that seems like a good step, right? That's what I got from this episode. That's a way to take ownership of what you've done as a quote-unquote fuckboy, to maybe remove that title from yourself.
Thanks again for listening the first episode of season two. Thank you to our guests for being open and honest and raw with us. You could catch us on social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook. We have a Gmail at asianbossgirl@gmail.com. So please write to us after you listen to this episode. We're very curious to hear what you guys have to say.
Yeah, maybe there will be a part three in the future. Who knows?
Bring us back.
I think this was a very good way to start off season two. So thanks again, guys. And we'll talk to you guys on the next episode.
Bye.